Oh, what a sense of his presence in the house. Praise the Lord. Amen. I reminded the Sunday school class, we were chatting about some things about in Pentecost. You know, we used to have some services. We never got to the preaching, and that's great. We still do that. And I know folks meant well, but sometimes they would leave a service like that and say, we didn't have any preaching tonight. The Spirit moved. And like if you have preaching, the Spirit doesn't move. Well, we've had the move of the Spirit, but I want you to know he wants to continue to move through the preaching and move in the altar service. Amen? Amen. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, knowing Jesus through his names. You may be thinking, I wish God didn't have so many names. We've been on this so long. And it keeps growing on me because, you know, I started out just preaching knowing the names of God or knowing God through his names. And then now we're on knowing Jesus through his names. And it hit me this week. It wouldn't be complete unless we talked about knowing the Holy Spirit through his names, would it? We wouldn't be finished. So, amen. If we don't get done by the time we get to heaven, there'll be no need for this. We'll just know him even as also we're known. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? And Jesus went out, this is verse 1, from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? See, one of the things that was confusing him is this next verse. How does he teach this way? How does he do these miracles? Because of his career. It doesn't match his career. Well, what was his career? Here it is, verse 3. Here's why they were puzzled. How can he be teaching? Like, how can he be working miracles? Is not this the carpenter? The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And instead of rejoicing what was taught and the miracles that were done, they were offended. Because it was a carpenter doing the teaching and a carpenter doing the miracles. If they would only realize what a wonderful thing it was to know that he is the carpenter. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to preach this morning, the carpenter, just the carpenter, knowing Jesus through his names. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, anoint us together. Lord, the Spirit that we feel at work in our hearts, may there just be a growing sense of your presence. And oh, Lord, on every age group that's here, the sanctuary, you're real, God. You're real. Your presence is real this morning. Lord, it's far beyond our emotions and far beyond the dynamics of gathering together. You are in our midst. The Spirit of God continued to move through the preaching of the word. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I'm not trying to bring up unpleasant memories, but I've been many times now at the bedside of someone that's dying, and I've heard doctors say it, I've heard nurses say it, I've heard clergy say it, I've heard loved ones say this, go ahead, this person's unresponsive, but they say, go ahead and talk to them, because what? The hearing is the last to go. We often like to muse and think about the last things that people say and have said. We don't often pause to think about the last things people hear. Even with Jesus on the cross, Brother Wilson, we often read that account and we think about and talk about Jesus' last words. Jesus' last words on the cross. Have you ever thought about the last things that Jesus heard in his life? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but what if I told you that one of the last things Jesus heard as a man, was also one of the very first things that he heard as a baby. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Did you realize that one of the very first sounds Jesus ever heard and the very last sound that Jesus ever heard was the sound of a hammer hitting nails? As a baby, he was born into the house of a carpenter, the shop adjacent and attached. And as he began to grow into consciousness, Jesus heard the sounds of his adopted father, Joseph, driving nails. The first sounds that he heard. The last sounds that Jesus heard were the sounds of a hammer hitting the nails that pierced his hands and his feet. Here's a wonderful thing. Jesus became a carpenter. He hammered nails. But did you realize in the story of Jesus, whether Jesus was hammering the nails or whether the nails were being hammered into him, either way, he was building something. Building something. I said, when they hammered nails into his body, he's still the carpenter. He's still building something. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad I can preach this morning that Jesus is the carpenter. They met it derogatorily. They met it as an insult. But we can rejoice over the fact that Jesus is the carpenter. He can take the ruins of a life. He can take the ruins of a family. He can take the ruins of a home. He can take the ruins of a marriage. He can take those ruins and he can rebuild a life. He can rebuild a marriage. He can rebuild a family. He can rebuild a home. He can rebuild a dream. He can rebuild a hope. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's the carpenter? Hallelujah. People sneered at, is not this the carpenter? But this morning we lift our hearts and hands and we rejoice in hope and thankfulness. He is the carpenter who is building our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord is here. Oh, I don't know if you'd listen spiritually. You might be hearing some hammer hitting some nails right now in the service. How many believes even in this service the carpenter's at work? I said the carpenter's at work. Even he was called the carpenter because it was who Jesus was. It was who he was. I want you to pause and think before Jesus ever preached a sermon or taught a lesson, before Jesus ever healed a sick person, before Jesus ever cast out a devil, before he did any of that, before he was even a human who learned the trade of a carpenter. Amen. He was the builder. It is who he is. He was born into a carpenter's home, that shop adjacent to the home. Amen. And being the firstborn son of his adopted father, Joseph, the custom was that the firstborn son would learn the trade of the father. And so Jesus went from being a kid who observed his father, his adoptive father, to a youth who helped a little bit, to a teenager, a young man who was apprenticed, to later in his adult life, he became a master carpenter. I said, before he worked a miracle, before he taught a lesson, before he cast out a devil. Amen. By all accounts, Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry, and his ministry lasted around 3 years. Amen. What does that mean? Amen. That means that as a young man apprenticed to his father, he became a full-fledged working carpenter at the age of 15. And so for 15 15 years, he was a carpenter. For 3 years, he was a teacher and a preacher. What does that mean? Amen. He was five times longer a carpenter than he was a teacher and a preacher. Amen. Jesus later spoke of sowing and reaping, but he was not a farmer. Amen. Jesus talked about a shepherd and being a shepherd, but earthly wise, he was not a shepherd. Jesus spoke about being the great physician, and spiritually he was, but physically he was not a physician. He was a carpenter. What does that mean to us? It means he was working class. He was blue collar. His life was humble and common and poor and demanding, just like a majority of the people in this house and across the world. He was one of us. Even earthly wise, he was not a king. He was a carpenter, a lowly life, a low paying job. Why? Because he can identify with us. He was saying by being a carpenter, I'm one of you. I'm right there, one of you. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the likeness of man, the form of a man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, oh, and every tongue confess he's exalted King of Kings. But he began as a man, as a carpenter, as one of us, not in a palace but in a carpenter's home. Jesus knew what it was to be worn out from a hard day's work. He knew what it was to work 12 and 16 hours. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody here glad he's a carpenter? I said he identifies. He is identifying with us. He depended upon low wages. He knew what it was to deal with cantankerous clients, unhappy clients. Hallelujah. You see what I'm preaching this morning? To say Jesus was a carpenter is to emphasize what we may miss with just the word carpenter without thinking of it. It's to emphasize Jesus is a builder. Oh, come on, church. I said Jesus is a builder. If we just limited that to the physical sense, amen, and physical building, that's true. He was a physical builder. But listen to me this morning. When Jesus closed that carpentry shop in Nazareth and started his ministry, he was still a carpenter and still a builder. It wasn't that he stopped building and started teaching. No, when he closed the carpentry shop, he just left off physical building and took on spiritual building. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Later he called some of his disciples who were fishermen. Amen. They left fishing for fish and began fishing for men. And no difference. When Jesus closed the carpentry shop, he left off building houses and started building lives. Hallelujah. He is a carpenter. When he began to teach and preach and heal and cast out devils, he was still building. But this time, he's building a heart. He's building a life. He's building a home. He's building a character. He's building an eternity. Listen, as a carpenter, hear me this morning. As a carpenter, I'm sure Jesus knew how to do new construction. He knew how to take it from the ground level and the foundation level up. But I want you to know, a carpenter doesn't just do new construction. A carpenter does repair work. He does renovation. He does remodeling. I begin to think when Jesus had the carpentry shop open, how often somebody brought him a broken chair, a broken table. Amen. And he repaired it. No doubt even a child in the neighborhood brought a broken toy. And he repaired that toy. It hasn't changed now that he's teaching. They're still bringing Jesus broken things. A broken marriage. A broken heart. A broken life. And they find he's the carpenter who repairs, who remodels, who renovates. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's a builder? Aren't you glad he's a repairer? Anybody here, did you bring something broken to the carpenter? Let me see your hand. You brought something broken to, oh, hallelujah, the carpenter. Glory to God. I said, hallelujah. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon in the oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I want to tell you something this morning. He's in. Jesus is in to home improvement. Oh, your home needs improvement. You listen to me. That sounds just like rhetoric. It's not. It's the thing our society needs to hear. Homes are in trouble. Fragmented. All this identity and all this mess that's going on is nothing more or less than a complete all-out assault on the family. The government's not going to fix the family and the home. The politician's not going to fix the family and the home. Amen. Man isn't helping at all. He's making it worse. But I know a carpenter who's into home improvement. He'll improve your home. Oh, come on, church. It's who he is. He is the carpenter. Secondly, they called him the carpenter because it was what Jesus has always done. And will always do. He'll never cease to be the carpenter because he's always been a carpenter. I told you, and earthly wise, it is true. I told you that Jesus learned carpentry from his adopted father, Joseph. But Brother Vent, Jesus was building things long before he met Father Joseph. Oh, there's a lot of scripture. Let me give you just one. John chapter 1 verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Before Jesus, Brother Ponting, before he ever built a house, Jesus built a planet. Jesus built a solar system. Jesus built a galaxy. Jesus built a universe. Jesus built a molecule. Jesus built an atom. Jesus built a proton. Jesus built a quark. And guess what? I know all of that suffers the ravages of the sin and fall of man. But after all these thousands of years, it's still working just like he built it. Oh, come on. I said he's always been a builder. Look around. This isn't happened by chance and accident. Everything you see, you're seeing the design of the builder. In fact, he's one of those special builders. He's not just the builder. He's the architect. Hallelujah. He's the engineer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What? He conceived. He built. I'll tell you, he's a builder like none other. Every other builder has to have supplies. Hallelujah. But when he built, all you see, amen, he didn't have to have supplies. He brought it out of nothing. Let there be light, and there's light. Hallelujah. I said he's always been a builder. The point is, even right here today, amen, since he's ascended to the Father, he departed from the earth, but he kept on building. What are you talking about? Because as the carpenter, he is presently engaged in building the church. Not the denomination, not the organization, not the religion of men, but he's actively engaged in saving people, making them born again, bringing them into the family of God, which is the building, his habitation of the Spirit, which is the church. I'm telling you, he's building the church. He told us before he left in Matthew, he said, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Oh, I will build my church. Well, that preacher sure built a great church. Those people down there, they built a good church there. Oh, my money built that church. No, sirree. You might have built a building. You might got a lot of people together for a social arrangement. But I'm telling you, there's only one person that builds the church. It's Jesus Christ. None other can say save. None other can change a life. None other can wash with His blood. He's building the church. Glory to God. I know we've been under an all-out onslaught, an assailment from the enemy, from the devil, from the powers of darkness and evil. I know the church has felt, I'm talking about the true church of God, has felt this attack, a satanic power in our society and our nation. And some Christians may be thinking, are we going to survive? Are we going to make it? Are we going to come through? I just want to remind you what the carpenter said. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I am the carpenter. Hallelujah. It'll withstand the storm. Oh, hallelujah. Peter said, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. An earthly carpenter, stonemason, laying stone, reaches over, grabs a stone for a fireplace, and that stone starts moving on him. You're going to be taking somebody to get some pills for anxiety. Whenever time he picks up a stone, it goes to moving and talking. But I want to tell you, when Jesus builds his church, he builds it out of stones that are alive. All he's saying is he builds it out of people. Breathing people, people with emotions, people with thinking, people with troubles, people with problems. But he builds his church. We're out of stones that are alive. How many still with me? I said he built the universe. He is building the church. But there's something else he's building right here. Does anyone know what it is right now besides our life? Know what else he's building? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare. I go to build a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am. I'm telling you, if you're born again and you're saved, the carpenter's building you a place in the eternal abode of God. Glory to God. No wonder it's going to be beautiful. No wonder it's going to be beyond compare. The carpenter's at work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My heart is saddened this morning. Amen. And I know I'm speaking in earthly metaphor, but my heart is saddened because I've seen people get saved and the carpenter started building their house, their place in eternity. But just recently they've turned their heart and life from God, and construction has stopped on their mansion in heaven. Isn't that a sad thing? It never intended. Amen. He wants to keep on building your home because he wants you one day to inhabit and dwell in that home. He's the carpenter. It's who he is. Amen. I said amen. Now I want to summarize that with this. If Jesus is the carpenter, if Jesus is the builder, Satan is the wrecker. In fact, one of Satan's name is Apollyon. That means the destroyer. Amen. A house takes months to build, but it can be torn down in hours. If you drove on 3rd Street through Drexel this week, you see where they taken out that old farmhouse there. It didn't take them long once they got it stripped of the things they had to for the environment. It didn't take long. I'm telling you, that house was wrecked a whole lot more quickly than it was built. And that's the way it is. Anything worth anything takes time and energy and effort and resources to build, but it can be destroyed in minutes. Oh, I've seen that. I've seen God the carpenter, Jesus the carpenter, build a life, work on a life, build a tremendous thing, and a person destroys what the carpenter has done in minutes or moments or hours or even days. I'm telling you, it never ought to be. Jesus is the builder, but Satan is the wrecker. He's come to destroy. Jesus came to build your life. Satan came to destroy it. We see it on every hand, the destruction of the enemy. But don't be too discouraged. Realize that we need to also look at the building of the carpenter. I don't have time to tell you all this, so I just want to jolt your mind. That man in the tombs of Gadarene, you talk about a messed up, destroyed life, a man out of his head full of demons. But could I tell you something? Even though in real life maybe it takes a long, long time to build some things, with this carpenter, he can build some things like that. Here's a man totally destroyed by Satan. And moments later, he's clothed and in his right mind. You know what Jesus did? I know he cast out. You know what Jesus did? The carpenter looked at the mess and the wreckage. He said, I can do something with that. I can build that up. That leper, he was put out of society because of his leprosy. Years he couldn't go to his own home, to his own table. But I want you to know, after he met Jesus, that night he's sitting at his table after having been to the temple. He's back. Jesus rebuilt the leper's life. What about that prostitute, the scourge of society? Nobody wanted her around. She's an outcast. But Jesus rebuilt her life. Now she's a worshiper. Oh, come on, church. How many have you seen it? It might have been drugs. It might have been alcohol. It might have been, but Jesus rebuilt a life. Oh, hallelujah. Satan had wrecked, but Jesus had built. Last of all, this morning, we call him the carpenter because it's what Jesus wants to be to each one of us in our lives. He wants to be our carpenter. Amen. You see, you can build your own home. Anyone here with the resources? You can build your own home. But most of us, if we were to build our own home, we would still need a carpenter. Amen. It was Jesus the carpenter that gave the parable about building on the foundations, or lack thereof. It was Jesus the carpenter that said, whosoever keepeth these sayings of mine, to him will I liken to a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And then he said, but that foolish man that will not keep my sayings, he's like one that builds upon the sand, and the rains descend, and the winds blow, and the floods come and beat upon that house, and it falls, and great was the fall of it. If anybody ought to know about foundations and building, it's the carpenter. He knows the necessity, Brother Brock, the carpenter does, of a good foundation. Now here's the thing. Jesus was appealing to a will of a people who heard him. Listen to me. This thing about free choice is a wonderful thing. Amen. We're not free to choose what our choices are going to be, but we are free to choose between the choices. We're not free to choose the consequences of our choices, but we're free to choose between the consequences. Amen. Especially when you start out young, you can build your life in a lot of different fashions, a lot of different ways. You can build your life. You've got a choice, and the choice can be put simply this. You can choose to build upon the rock of salvation, upon the rock of the truth of the Word of God, upon the rock Christ Jesus, or you can choose to build upon the sand of this world's values, this world's fashions, this world's ways. Anybody here, you can choose to build your life, and you can choose where you're going to build it. But if you choose to build upon the sand of this world, its way of thinking, its way of doing, I can promise you, Satan is going to destroy that building. But I got wonderful news for you. If you choose to build upon the rock, a carpenter comes with that choice. You choose to build upon the sand, you're in it on your own. You choose to build upon the rock. I said, the carpenter comes with that choice. I'm not going to build on the things of this world. I'm going to build on the rock. The moment you make that choice, your life may be a mess. You may have made every wrong decision. Everything's a complete mess in your life. But the moment you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and say, I want to build on the rock, here comes the carpenter. I heard that. I heard you say you want to build upon the rock. I am the carpenter. I've come to help you build your life, build your future, build your existence, build your vocation. Oh, come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's a rock to build upon? Aren't you glad a carpenter came with your toys? Glory to God. He is the carpenter. He is the carpenter. Amen. 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 We choose. Every person knows or needs to know what is said in the Psalms. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. That is true. That's why our nation is tottering and falling. And I'm not a pessimist, amen, but I don't have my head stuck in the sand either. Once our nation begin to leave, and once the people of our nation, more importantly, and even more importantly, once our churches started to leave the unchangeable principles of God's word and true salvation, they took up the building on their own. They said, we know how to do it better. We can construct this thing better. And that's why everywhere and everything is tottering. Because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You made the choice. You chose the rock. But let him build the house. Say yes to him when he says, use this material. Say yes to him when he says, this needs to go in right here. Just say yes. Amen. How many knows of that? That show, this old house. How many knows? It's almost like magic. Those men are so skilled. I want to know something you hear. Maybe you guys aren't thinking about building your own house now, but one day you will. If you're getting ready to build a new house, would you turn down that set of carpenters if they came and said, we're not even going to charge anything. We want to help you build that house. Would you turn them down? You'd be so happy. You'd be so thrilled. You'd be dancing out there on top of that pile of 2x4s. Amen. I want to tell you the best news I got for you is if you choose Jesus, if you choose to build upon the rock, it comes with the very best carpenter ever. Why would you want to turn him down? Why wouldn't you want to do things the way he said do them? Oh, come on. I said, come on. Hallelujah. How will he build? He'll build your life according to the master blueprint of this word right here. He'll build your life, your marriage, your family, your future according to this. I'm going to ask a question right now. Who's been working on your house? Who's been building in your life? What have you been letting in? Whom have you been listening to? Amen. Who's been building in your life? Amen. I want to tell you just a few more things and I'll quit. There's so much here once we get into this thing about the carpenter, but I want to mention just two or three things. First of all, the carpenter knows wood. I said the carpenter knows wood. I'm making no claims to be a good carpenter, not even a good cabinet builder, but I've been involved in cabinet building. And one of the things you learn is how to read wood. You just don't pull out any board and put it in any place. You got to read that board, straightness, and whether it's curved or not, and something else is important. You got to learn to read the grain. You can't really work wood unless you know how to work the grain. But I'm telling you, someone who's truly a good carpenter or a good cabinet builder, there can be a pile of wood of different kinds, different shapes, different straightnesses, different thickness. And that carpenter, that cabinet builder, brother, he can pick up a piece of wood and he can see exactly how that wood can be used, what he can make out of that wood. You may toss that piece of wood aside, say it's got too many knot holes, it's too warped, it's too crooked. But a master carpenter, he can envision in his mind the potential of that wood. I'm not trying to unflatter us, but when in our rough state, we're all just a pile of wood, and some of us, look straight at me, don't look at anybody else, but some of us have got a whole lot of knot holes. I know that because there's a whole lot of knot heads, got a whole lot of knot holes, got a lot of crooked places. Come on now. But aren't you glad for the carpenter who knows how to read the wood? And he plucked you up and said, I know what I can make of your life. I know what I can build out of you. I know what I can make you. I'm the master carpenter. You don't see it. No, you don't. You're not the master carpenter. He sees it. He's the master carpenter. Oh, come on. Would you like to rejoice? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He sees what your life can be. Amen. There's other things we could say. say. But let me say maybe one more thing about a carpenter. A carpenter not only saws and hammers, he sands and he planes and he glues. Amen. I don't have enough patience for one of them old-fashioned wood planes. But I'm telling you, several years ago, I bought me an electric plane. Boy, I can go to town with that. I can shape with that electric plane. Just go to town with that. I want to tell you, he selects the wood. He sees the potential. But we need a whole lot of sanding and a whole lot of planing. Have you ever had the carpenter take the plane to you? If you really want to be something, this has got to go. Oh, I know you want to be something for God, but that attitude. How many has ever had the Lord take the sandpaper to you? Don't get upset at him. Some of you are afraid I'm going to come back here with the sandpaper, aren't you? Oh, I've been there when he's taking the sandpaper to me. Church, I'm so thankful you love the truth. I'm so thankful that you want the truth. But I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of people. They want to go to heaven. They want to be made to feel good in church. And they want to buzz with the music. But they don't want any of this thing of surrendering their lives to the carpenter for him to work on their lives. I want you to know there's never, ever a more true statement that when you come to Christ, you come as you are, not holes and crookedness and everything else. But I want you to know it doesn't start on how you come to Christ. It's let the carpenter take you into his hands and take the plane and the sandpaper and the saw. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If your life is a house going up, how it's built, it determines whether or not, whether it's going to stand or going to come down. And I want you to hear me. I'm quitting. But I want you to hear this morning. Satan, the destroyer, has made a mess of your life. You know that. Sometimes other people make a mess of your life. There's abuse, taken advantage of, being injured and betrayed. Other people can make a mess of your life. Especially I think of so often of children and young folks that don't have a lot of choices at that point. And somebody in their life makes a mess of their life when their life is hardly getting started. And if Satan doesn't make a mess, if other people don't make a mess, we often make a mess of our own lives. But I'm going to tell you, if any of those things are the case, it's not a reason for hopelessness. It's not a reason for disillusionment. It's a reason to give your life wholly and completely to the carpenter, because he can take a mess and make a magnificent, beautiful thing. I'm having one of those moments, those flashbacks back in the early 70s. There was that song that came out, "Something Beautiful, Something Good, All My Confusions, He Understood." It said something about taking the broken things and giving it to him, and he'll make something beautiful out of you. How many really believes what I'm preaching this morning? Bring the mess to him. He's the one who can repair. He's the one that can build. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's come that we might have life. He'll take the broken dreams, broken hopes, broken lives, and he'll build it up. Would you come, music? He'll build it up. A beautiful thing. Amen. I read a story that interested me a while back, and I ran across it again this week. But for 100 years in the Sanctuary of Mercy Church in Borja, Spain, was a painting by Elias Martinez. It was a beautiful painting called Ek Homo, which means "Behold the Man" from Pilate's saying there. It was a picture of Christ. But over the years, through moisture, the painting had begun to deteriorate, and there was a buildup, and it obscured the image of Christ on the painting. So just 4 years ago in August, an 80-year-old church member of that church, Cecilia. She took it upon herself to try to restore that picture, that famous picture. And she got some cleaners, she got some paint, and she got some brushes. And she said, I can do this myself. Didn't turn out well. I could quote several newspapers, but the New York Times said it was probably the worst art restoration project of all time. A Spanish blog called it the restoration that turned into destruction. A BBC article said the delicate brushstrokes of Elias Martinez have been buried under a haphazard splattering of paint. This writer wasn't as kind. He said when she got through, the once dignified portrait of Jesus looked like a crayon sketch with a very hairy monkey in an ill-fitting tunic. She destroyed that painting. Why? She said, you know, as a church here, we fix everything ourselves. And this seems good in itself, but she said, if anything's falling down, we fix it. So I decided I'd fix it. Now, that's a good sentiment, and that's a good character trait, except for one thing. She didn't have the ability. It's artwork. She's not an artist. She doesn't know how. The town has hired some specialists now to try to restore it. They said it's almost impossible to restore this after she took it upon themselves, herself, to try to do the restoration. I'm going to tell you, when your life is a mess, when it's a wreck, you just don't have the ability to restore your life on your own. You can have good, strong self-discipline. You can have good intelligence. But you'll never be able to bring restoration to the mess of your life. But I know an expert carpenter, the very best. He can restore a life. He can restore a heart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said I wouldn't tell it, and I know I probably should just quit here, but I just keep thinking of it. And I'm so glad to have Hannah and Caleb and Xander back with us. And I've told this a few times through the years, but when Hannah was real small, I think it was the vacuum cleaner that had broken, and right there in the kitchen over at the parsonage, I took it apart and worked on it and fixed it. And when I plugged it in, turned it on, and it ran, and I turned it off. And Hannah came up behind me and leaned over my back and put her little chubby arms back then, little chubby arms around my neck, and looked up at Sandra, who was in the kitchen. She says, Mom, Daddy can fix anything. She went into the other room, and I told Sandra, I said, there's going to come a day when she's going to find out I can't. She's going to come in here with a broken heart, and I ain't going to be able to fix it. Have you ever felt like that? Someone hurting and you can't fix it? Aren't you glad there's a master carpenter? Oh, let's just worship him. Come on, let's stand and worship him. Could you stand all over the building? Let's worship the carpenter. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. He's the carpenter. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You take it to the wrong person, they may be a master at covering up. They know how to caulk. They know how to veneer and just cover up the mess. He'll never cover up a mess. He may have to tear out a few things and bring it down to ground level, but he's going to build it right. Hallelujah. I don't know how to give an altar call. I'm just so glad we have a carpenter in our lives. But I wonder if there's anybody here who would just say, I've got a mess. I want to bring it to the carpenter. I need restoration. I need things built correctly in my life. Are you here? I know that's simple, but would you just like to bring your mess to the Lord? Come on. Anybody in the building? You say, I just like to bring my mess to the carpenter and let him bring restoration. I want to bring the thing that's broken that he might repair it. Are you here? Would you like to come? Amen. Anywhere in the building. Amen. Let God talk to your heart. What do we do? We used to do this, but let's take a moment, church, to pray that God would speak to hearts and do something eternal in this altar service. Would you do that? Would you pray all over the building? Hallelujah. Lord, somebody needs you this morning. Somebody needs you, Lord, to rebuild their lives. Oh, their lives are in a mess, and they're making a further mess trying to handle it themselves. They can't handle it. They can't do it. They need Jesus. They need the Master Carpenter. As we're praying, you want to bring a mess. You want to bring a brokenness. You want to bring something that needs repaired to him. Would you bring it to him? Anywhere in the building. Hallelujah. 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 Would you like to come? Anybody else like to come? You want to bring something to the Lord? Want to bring something to the Lord? Hallelujah. 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 God bless these. Are there others? You'd like to bring something for repair, something to the Lord. Amen. Young people, as they're coming, you see, the wonderful thing is give your life to Jesus before it needs repairs, before things are a mess. Bring your life to Jesus when you're young and say, Lord, I just want my life built right. I don't want to wait till things are a mess. I want my life built right from ground level. Amen. I wonder if there's any young person who begin to come and say, I choose to let my life be built upon the rock. I want my life. I'm not saying you haven't already. I'm not saying thing. You're a young person. You'd say, I want my life built by the carpenter because I choose to build upon the rock. Would you begin to come, young folks? I want my life to build. Would folks come begin to pray with these that have come? Amen. Would you just begin to come and pray? What about it, young people? I want to build my life upon the rock, Christ Jesus. I'm not saying you haven't made that choice. I'm just saying by coming, you say, I'm giving my life to the carpenter. I choose the rock and not the sifting sand. Amen. As others are coming, let's just fill these altars, church. Amen. Let's thank God for the carpenter. Let's thank God for the carpenter. Let him build your life. Let him build your life. Let him build your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, church, let's honor him. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. You can build your life, bring your life to the carpenter. Hallelujah. Bring that brokenness this morning. Bring that thing that's out of sorts. And listen, if the carpenter wants to take the planer to you, if the carpenter wants to take the sandpaper to you, let him do it. He knows the wood. Please hear me as you pray in this altar. He knows the wood. He sees the potential. He knows how to read the grain of your heart and your soul. He knows how to read it. He knows how to read it. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, church, let's pour out our hearts to around this altar. Wherever you're at in your life with him, you need the carpenter. Hallelujah. Let him make a choice of the materials. Let him make a choice of how things go up in your life. If your home is in need, call out to the carpenter. He knows how to improve the home, your heart. Hallelujah. Say yes to the carpenter.
All my confusion.
Say yes.
He understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. Oh. But he made something.
Give him what you have.
Beautiful.
Give him the mess. Give him the mess. Give him the brokenness.
Something beautiful.
Oh, something beautiful.
Something good.
Satan's a destroyer. He'll make something beautiful.
All
the carpenter.
My confusion. He understood.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank Him, church, that He's worked in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, the carpenter, the carpenter, the carpenter.
Something beautiful, something good. All my
confusion, He understood. I didn't have a lot to offer, but brokenness and hurt and pain, a mess.
All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife.
Your life may have been wrecked down to its foundations, and you don't know. You don't know how to rebuild. Give it to Him. He knows how to rebuild. Hallelujah.
Something beautiful.
Oh, I love You, Lord. Thank You, Carpenter. Thank You, Carpenter. Thank You, Carpenter. Thank You, Carpenter. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Is not this the Carpenter? Thank God it was. Thank the Father it was the Carpenter. This is the Carpenter. This is the Carpenter.
Beautiful of mine.